Good morning, Mrs. J.
Good morning, Mr. J.
It is still morning.
It is morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what time it is, but it's 11:20.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah. So
we said we were going to do our podcast in the morning, Friday morning.
Yeah.
Just a few.
We made it.
Yes.
So, okay. So what beverage are you drinking?
I'm drinking a coconut flavored coffee. It's actually really good. I don't usually like flavored coffee, but.
And I have lukewarm coffee.
Yeah.
Which
I gave you the old stuff.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yikes.
Yep.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. Today's podcast is about, can we be deceived as Christians? And I think we need to take the warning from the Lord in Matthew 24 very seriously. It was very difficult for us to have this podcast because there was so much material, couldn't hardly get our hands around it. At the same time, we had all the deep problems going on in this country. COVID, yeah. Poor Mr. George Floyd.
The riots.
The
looters.
Mm-hmm, the accusations being hurled at everybody just because of our skin color. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really... I think it's a warning that we need to take seriously. And so the name of this podcast is Can We Be Deceived? And again, I think we should take it seriously. So right. What I think we should do is read Psalm 81, if you don't mind, just a part of it.
Yeah.
And so, hear, O Israel, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. Whoa. Mm. And... there shall be no strange god among you, and you shall not bow down to a foreign god. See, the thing that I'm worried about when we read this psalm and what we're going to talk about today about being deceived is it's really hard for people to connect to. But I think we have to pray, and we'll pray right now, to have God open up our hearts. So, Lord, we just come before you with this podcast. It's a serious podcast. At the same time, we don't want to be deceived. You even said that the elect could be deceived, and if it were possible. And so, Lord, we want to stand with you, and we just ask you to go into our heart and take a look and see what we have that could be allowing us to be deceived. Please do that. So... thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Lord, we just thank you for your redemption. And it's the same redemption that we put our faith and trust in the blood of the Lamb. And we open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And Lord, so we want to come before you and be like baby birds being fed by you. And so, Lord, this ominous warning comes, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. And Lord, we know that Israel is the spiritual people who are working their salvation out with you. And that what I mean by working out salvation is the fact that we want to be obedient to you. We're going to make mistakes, but we want you to correct us and move us into the right direction. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. And Lord, we actually see this in what we're going to be talking about. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest wheat and with the honey from the rock, and I would satisfy you. So, Lord, we just tell you that you are the one who defeats the foes if we get in line with your word. And I think that is a fantastic promise. So our call is back to the word of the Lord and to not have any false gods, which is the theme of this podcast. Because it's kind of really heavy on our hearts, I think.
Yeah, it's been really difficult to try to figure out how to do this podcast.
Why do you say that? Since I'm interviewing you.
Yeah. Well, because we even kind of argued a little bit about it. I think with all the things that are going on in the world, and then the realization of really being how easily it is to be deceived in this world. It put a weight of, on me anyway, it put a weight of how much I do need to be so close to the Lord and understanding His word so that I don't fall into any type of deception, or my emotions don't take over my thoughts of how to serve God in a right way.
Yeah, and I think this Psalm 81, it shows how clear the Lord is speaking to us through His word. And then all of a sudden, they get deceived. And so how do we, this is was our discussion before we went into the podcast, and that is, how do we take this into a modern world? How do we say, okay, these people believed in the Passover lamb through the blood of the Passover lamb. They went out into the wilderness. Same thing with us. Those who of us are born again.
Yeah.
And if you're not born again, let us know and we'll help you with that as well. Mm-hmm. But the issue is, they are in the wilderness. God is supernaturally doing some amazing things. And then all of a sudden there's a big change. And so how do we move? How did we move away? That was our challenge, our question. How did we move away from the word of God? How did we do it?
Are you talking about us personally?
Well, all of us. And so every, you've heard us. I mean, I think everybody's like heard us a million times talk about our story. And if you're first time here, go back and look at some of our other stuff. But the thing that's concerning to us is we thought we were in a church. We thought we were pursuing the word of God, and in reality we were pursuing the teaching that somebody had.
We were pursuing the word of man's interpretation of the word of God, in a sense,
right?
And putting our, we like to say, putting our brain on the shelf, but we weren't. It's just there's that fine line, and that's what we're talking about here, is that you can love the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord and get deceived, because
yes,
that's exactly what the enemy is constantly trying to do. It's like, I'll do a counterfeit of your faith, or I'll do a counterfeit of a spiritual gift that really isn't a spiritual gift. It's a counterfeit, but it's so subtle that you can open yourself up to it, and then before you know it, you're in this hole that's just like, how did I get here?
Right. And I think one of the ways that we need to look at this is, you and I have been talking a lot about our choices in media are shrinking. We're hardly even watching news commentary. And what I'm seeing is a complete indoctrination of our society.
Right.
And how does that happen? I mean, like, for those people on, you could say the social left, let's just say that. It's, you almost can know that they're on the social left by just how they act. You know what I mean? And on the right too, it's the same thing. And we weren't going to really talk about any kind of politics or anything,
but it's beyond political.
Right. But it's what we learned very early on after coming out of that church was we allowed ourselves to be indoctrinated in a sense because we thought, we didn't think critically. We, in other words, this is a conversation I had yesterday with somebody. How much do we want to believe it? That's really the question that we now need to ask. Like, mm-hmm. For example, you could church shop and say, oh, this guy is really, he's super biblical, but this guy's super into prophecy and this guy's super into social justice. The problem is, how does any of that line up with the word of God?
Right. I mean, that's the very, the very core of finding a church
mm-hmm.
needs to be that it lines up with the Word of God and not lines up with the Word of God in the way man thinks it should for this day and time, but the way the Word of God lined up from the very beginning and never changes. It's the same.
Okay. So based on that little background here and the fact that we are kind of mourning over all of this, I mean, I've seen, you know, people that I've respected for a long time, like are jumping off cliffs in a sense. And not literally jumping off cliffs, but they're taking stands that I would have never dreamed.
Right.
And the thing that's interesting to me is it still is a mournful process to go through. So let's just set up the background. Rick doesn't need to think out loud because that's what I'm doing. So here's the meat and bones and crux of this. So we were in Exodus 31. You're looking at our personal time of study together. And
we're covering Exodus 32, but you're doing the background of what happened before,
right,
correct?
Right. And so in our podcast series really is all at Exodus 7, okay? And periodically we get so concerned about something that God is revealing to us in our personal studies. Because Mary and I study the Bible together. We try to do that. And we want to dedicate our lives to studying Scripture, which is odd because that's not something we learned to do in any church we were in.
Right.
Now, people listening to this would go, "Rick, that's crazy. You know, every church talks about the Bible and but it's about you and I studying together. And how do we not be deceived if we don't know the Word of God, right?
Correctly.
If
we don't know the Word of God correctly, which has been an issue for me in my life, is, you know, over the years, reading the Word of God, but not really understanding the translation or not putting it in, trying to put it into today's culture or make it my own. And it's, you know, caused problems for me because it's very easily, like we've talked about, to go into the slippery slope of deception.
Yeah.
And start out with just not meaning to do that and ending up finding yourself in a situation that is not honoring to God at all, in whatever way. It doesn't have to be even be a great grave sin that's everybody knows of. It's just that subtlety of, oh, I'm just going to accept this and I'll accept that. And, you know, I'm going to do what I think is right in my own eyes, even though you might not realize you're doing that. And you take the responsibility of your desire to honor God and do, you know, lay out your life before God in the way that He wants you to lay it out. And, you know, put on the jacket of laying out your life the way you think you should lay it
right
out and walk.
Right. And I think, let's just do this, because I think if you're in a denomination and you've been there forever, this podcast is for you. If you are charismatic and have been moving towards this hyper-charismatic stuff, and this is for you. If you are just read your Bible, you love God, you're born again, and you're in a Baptist church someplace, and you read the Bible, and you think you've got it,
this podcast is for
you.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we're leaning towards, this is a podcast for believers and how we can, in this particular podcast, how we can be deceived and especially in these times.
Yeah, and we want to move from being a pew sitter, consuming Scripture, consuming what the church says, and if we don't like what the church is doing, we go to another church. But the thing that we want to do is we want to move to becoming a disciple. Mm-hmm. And a disciple is somebody who studies the word and puts it in practice. And then we want to be disciple teachers. And that's everyone.
Right.
And so I think what we need to do is, let me give a quick little background here. So let's just do this. So we the background is this. We're in Exodus 31. The Lord, Moses is up on the mountain. He's been up there for a good 40 days. What's interesting to me is in Exodus 24, and I highly recommend everybody going, reading Exodus 24 and being stunned by it, because Moses is being called up to the mountain, and then what they do is they take the word of God and sprinkle it with blood, sprinkle everybody with the blood, and then they make a covenant with the Lord, and then the elders go up on the mountain, and they see God, and they see his feet, and they see his the pavement that he's on, this sapphire pavement. What that's the Holy Spirit, I think, is trying to tell us is we walk according to the way heaven wants us to walk.
Right.
All right, so Moses goes up on the mountain, and he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Doesn't eat anything or drink anything because God is his complete sustenance. Okay, so now we're in Exodus 31, and this is getting towards the end of that. The Lord is picking people to be filled with the Holy Spirit to help build the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the way that we worship God in the process that God wants us to worship. He also talks about in Exodus 31, this Shabbat. And what's interesting is Moses was called up to the mountain, and he had to wait up on the mountain for 6 days. And on the Shabbat, the seventh day, he goes in. Mm-hmm. So the Shabbat is really important for us to look at. So, and it basically points to me, it points at how connected to the world really are we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what we've also seen in Deuteronomy 28 is, if you want blessing from the Lord, the very first verse says you'll be diligent to be obedient to the Lord, mm-hmm. and his blessing will come into your life to do his will.
Well, that's right. And I was looking up blessing, and it's kneeling before the Lord and blessing God, that's not right. Us being blessed. Our blessing should be that we're kneeling before the Lord, blessing God. It's flipped around, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And cursed is denouncing evil.
Yep.
And
denouncing evil?
Or yeah, just, I don't even.
Being cursed?
Cursed is declare to be evil or to be detestable.
Oh, so you're.
Or to denounce.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was thinking, this is very interesting. The Lord blesses, when he blesses, we want it to be us that he's blessing, instead of us kneeling down and blessing him, yeah, and that's a blessing. And when we do evil, we're mad at him for denouncing evil, which is, we cause it ourselves.
I know.
It's crazy. It's like, and you know that, but you don't. It's like, that little shift for me was just a really good thing for me to remember about blessing, and that the blessing isn't about what we get, what happens to us in our life, or what state we're in physically. The blessing is when we're in the state of kneeling before the Lord and blessing him. That's our blessing.
Right. And we should take that posture. And that's a big change for us in our life. Mm-hmm. When we shifted to he created us, it's his house, his rules. Mm-hmm. We've said that many times. And we look at ourselves as a servant. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. We can serve ourselves while we're on this planet. And we can do some form of religious services. But if it's benefiting, if we're trying to get from it, then I think we might have a wrong perspective.
Well, I think that's the whole need of the Word of God and the exactly. The Holy Spirit as our teacher, because we can't tell the difference many times between.
I know.
So that continually points us back to, are we kneeling before the Lord blessing him, or are we expecting blessing from him because of what we think we're doing for him in this world?
Yeah, and that's a really subtle thing right there, and I think you need to repeat it, because just go ahead and repeat that.
Well, are we kneeling before the Lord and blessing him, or are we kneeling before the Lord and trying, and are we doing things out in a physical sense, thinking we're doing it for the Lord so we get a blessing?
Yeah, and a very simple way to bring this into reality is, if you've ever heard the term, if you sow into this ministry, you'll get.
It's idolatry.
It is. It's absolutely idolatry, you know, and it's asking God to be a giant vending machine.
Yeah.
And we had to repent for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, years ago, that's what we wanted to read the Bible to find out what we could do for God, and then he would bless us, because we were afraid that
we all are flawed as humans, and we all, because of parenting, culture, for whatever, all different types of things in this world that cause you to be skewed in your idea of who God is.
Right.
And the only way that veil to be taken off is to, is to accept God's gift of salvation and then get into his word, and he'll reveal himself to you and take away those weird views that you have that have come from your culture or from the family that you are in, or from bad experiences with, you know, whatever churches. Situation you're in.
Yep. And I think we should say right now is, you can be hurt in a church, but don't be hurt in the church. Understand that God may want to teach you something. And it may that be that you put something too much on that replace God, in a sense.
Right.
So let's move forward. Let's clean the slate. So remember we talked about Moses going up on the mountain. And so mountain.
I wanted to say something too, but when you were talking about the elders that when they went up and they saw they saw his feet, God's feet, and the sapphire road, or the clearness of it, and how we talked about that, you know, to me, it's a view of learning how to walk in his ways.
Right.
What blew me away is, while he's up there, that Aaron was up there experiencing that.
Yep.
That too, and those elders, and then they go down the mountain. So I just wanted to keep that in mind when you're talking about him being up on the mountain. Those men had experienced something very powerful and went down the mountain, and then, you know, we go into Exodus 32.
Well, and it's really interesting too, because we can look at the Mount of Transfiguration too, because the veil that was over the Lord Jesus, who is God, and we need to make sure that we don't lower him down to being a man. I mean, he's God in human flesh. So the thing that was really interesting to me is just exactly what you said. They saw God, and what's interesting is that Moses goes up on the mountain. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. But when you go up on the mountain, you have to humble yourself. And what we'll see is a complete contrast to this. So are we going to be under God's government? I don't think it's any accident that the Lord uses a mountain, because when you go up a mountain, like I said, you have to humble yourself in a way, because it
takes some effort. Yeah.
Yeah. It's effort. Let's take a look at this verse that's causing us that we turn to. And I think it's good. You know, it just dawned on me. I think it's good to be saddened by events in Scripture, but also don't look at the people that are doing this and say, how in the world could they do something like this? Because I can tell you right now, we're doing it in the church today.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's why I brought up Aaron, because at first I thought, how can they do this? And what saddened me and brought heaviness to me is that they're us. They're,
they are.
These were Mm-hmm. He was a man of God. I mean, they were believers. And that's what brought me to the reality. And I knew it, but it kind of reinforced it that we're in such a fine line of how we can be deceived, and we better have in order our need to stay in close contact with God and His Word.
Right. And we should mention this too. Please like and subscribe here, because I guess it creates a thing with the logarithms for Facebook and YouTube. So please do that. And more folks will see this. So anyway, here's this scripture. So it's Exodus 32. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So we're just going to read that one verse because it's just shocking. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. And so when people, I'll just mention this. If you want, go back right over to Adam and Eve. And that word saw shows right up there. You can click on it in Bible Study Company. Mm-hmm. She saw the fruit. And the people saw that Moses was not coming down and he was delayed. And the thing is that this whole word of delayed gives the impression that they thought Moses had died. Mm-hmm. And remember, the mountain was on fire. So he went up in that mountain. Mm-hmm. So, he delayed coming down. And the interesting thing about this word come is the same word as when the Lord came down to Babylon. It's sort of like a judgment, because when he came down, he brought the word of the Lord with them, and they talked more. So the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, so here's the other thing that happened. In Exodus 24, the Lord, or Moses told Aaron and Hur to deal with anything that was coming up as a matter of the law.
Right.
So what happens is they assembled around Aaron and they said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us." And this interesting thing about go before us is this whole idea of halak, which is the way that God wants us to have. There's a road, and that's derek. But this is halak, which is the way that God wants us. So here they are saying, this is the way God wants us to walk. Mm-hmm. We're going to make an idol for us. And this man, Moses, and remember, they replaced Moses with in Exodus 20, because when the Lord was coming, after he gave them the law, he spoke all the law in everybody's hearts, and they revealed their sin. But yet here's another thing where they rejected God and said, "Let Moses speak to us." Mm-hmm. Now Moses is dead, right? They don't know what happened to him. So they're going to... But it's the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt. That's what kills me, is that God brought them up from the land of Egypt, not some man.
That they haven't made that personal connection, or they're not willing to make that personal connection.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
which is what we do.
Yeah, it is. But see, I don't want to get into too many of the weeds. You have to pray and ask the Lord to show you what's going on in your heart. And, you know, but Aaron said to them, this is really interesting. Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." Notice how money now, a form of money, gold is, you know, refined in the fire, and it can be as divinity. But you know what? Faith comes by hearing. And isn't that interesting that first we see, then the enemy deceived Eve with her ears, mm-hmm. and she listened, And here's what's happening again. But isn't this interesting? We should all perk up whenever money is being exchanged. Mm-hmm. And somebody could say, well, Rick, you can't really say that about, you know, what churches need to run, people need to keep your eye on that. Because if you're, if here's the thing, if you give money so that you can hear the word of God, you, there's a big problem. You know, buy this book, yeah, buy this CD set, buy this course, come on here. Mm-hmm. And so that's right. That's a lot of the...
Well, it's also taking, I mean, to me, it represents them taking physical, tangible things from this world and trying to form a God out of it. So it's them working in their own, trying to work in their own strengths and not in God's.
Right. And we know from our past podcasts that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And faith is obedience to the word of God because we act on it. We hear it, we see it, we act on it. And here is them acting in faith to make another God. So the subtlety of this, we need to be very careful with not to judge them from afar and from the past. We need to look at ourselves.
So would you say that at that moment when Aaron said, take, have your wives and them take, rip their earrings off, and he went to fashion the golden idol. Calf, yeah. At that moment, he became a false prophet.
He did become a false prophet right then. I checked some scholarly research on it.
I mean, it would appear that that's would be in it. And it's also a good picture of men of God who are called to preach and yep, to lead, and a good reminder to them that be careful because they can become false prophets.
Well, yeah, and the thing is it's rampant today.
Yeah,
this whole idea of, I was just talking to a man yesterday, and he sent me a thing of a prophecy from a guy, and it was just nothing but adjectives all strung together. Mm-hmm. And so the...
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot in watching different, all this prophetic stuff, and especially when it's connected with, send me money and I'll prophesy, and the Lord's giving me this. It seems like there's always a connection with money and what is it called? The prosperity.
Yeah.
Prosperity gospel and those types of things. It seems to be some type of a connection.
But I think the interesting thing is we see the prosperity gospel here. Give me your money and I'll make something out of it.
And I'll give you what you want.
I'll give you what you want. And a lot of in our discussion, that man and I, he's a very nice man. Our discussion was he likes to listen to this, but I started asking him these adjectives that he's using. This is the season. This is the, you know.
Another thing I've noticed is I don't know if I can say, because I don't listen to it that often, but the ones that I have listened to, I've never heard them for a call of repentance.
Never.
It's always about something that you will get and that, you know, it's the season and it's going to be your time to do this and that. There's never get on the face before your face before the Lord and repent and follow his ways.
Well, and this even prophet said, the Father says. Now we're going to exactly see that same thing. And I asked this man, I said, why do I need this man to tell me what the Father says when I've got scripture to do that? Mm-hmm. And this is the contrast between Exodus 24, Exodus 31, because God is speaking, he's giving instruction that's bringing ordered worship. Mm-hmm. We can rest in that. And it's in that rest that we can do that. This is all going to be works.
Yeah.
It's what you have to do. It's you take your resources. God's giving this stuff to us. Mm-hmm. He even gave them the resources.
Right.
That's what's crazy. And you know what, Americans? We have resources that God has given to us. Mm-hmm. And we need to be, how much are we dependent on these resources? What if they were all taken away?
Well, just we're just getting a little taste of it with the pandemic. And that's just a small.
And the riots.
The riots too. But I mean, but we still have fairly normal lives, but we're hearing, you know, it's closing in a little bit, and it's really, I mean, it's going to come to a point where you have to decide where is your loyalty going to be to the word of God or to man's word to do what, you know, the cancel culture or the, is telling you to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think it's, but here we have Aaron, who is has seen miracles working with Moses, and now he gets up, and I want you to know they said to him, get up. Okay. And I want to point out this up. And here's the thing that's interesting to me, because when I was talking to this man about this thing, it shifted to the stuff you have to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of church that we kind of really bought into, mm-hmm. was, and this is what young people really, and I'm saying that the church is, we can't placate young people, okay? Young people need to realize that if you're going to do if you're going to start to do a works-based salvation, it's dependent on us. Mm-hmm. It's stuff that we have to do that God didn't call us to do, okay? He called us to study his word and obey it and become servants of his, mm-hmm. be disciples. He didn't call us to do this other stuff.
Right.
And that was a sort of a shocker to that man when we were, and I'm going to bring this back.
Well, I was looking up in the Bible study company too. And the first thing that showed up was Cain rising up,
yep.
To kill his brother. And that was on the heels of God, you know, telling him that trying to correct him, but pointing him in a direction you can, you know, be a man of God. And I mean, that's you know. And so what did he do? He rose up and went his own way, which is always going to be destruction of yourself and others.
Right. And he followed Satan. He followed his own desires, mm-hmm. thus following Satan. And that's exactly what we need to be asking ourselves in whatever situation we're in whatever church we're in, whatever we buy into, are we serving ourselves, mm-hmm. subtly? Ask the Lord, if you are diligent and you love him, take whatever you have going on in your life and ask him. Whatever you believe, ask him if it's correct. He is more than happy to tell you, mm-hmm. especially if you love him.
Well, and if your causes, and I'm one of the examples I would use is this social justice thing right now. If your church, or your pastor, or your own personal causes to rise up and fight for social justice takes over in accordance, I mean, over your understanding of that. The only place that justice will be served is from God. There's nothing, you can't do anything.
That's right.
But be obedient to God.
And we misread that in Psalm 81. Right.
But that's,
he'll fix it if we're obedient.
That's what's really bothered me, because I've listened to so many messages through this whole thing where these pastors are just preaching out of emotion and talking about social justice, and everything is all over their feed, and there's very, very little scripture.
Very little scripture. In fact, we saw a very emotional talk by a gentleman in Minneapolis.
It was terrible.
It was terrible talk. And people were like, oh, you know, crying over, he was crying in the thing, but it was all emotion. And at the very end, he said, the white man needs to get his knee off the black man. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, no, every man needs to get on their face before the Lord and repent and ask him to help them.
Right. And we can ask the Lord if there's any type of racism in our,
and that doesn't, it doesn't negate racism or any of those things. It's that, to, as people of God, our fight is to point people to Christ.
That's exactly right.
And to have a heart laid before the Lord and in repentance so that we can bless him and serve him.
Right. And so that caused us to go look at other messages. And we could honestly say this is that his church is headed towards social justice.
Well, and that's, it reminded me of this with Aaron, because I thought it's the same situation. There, he was called to turn the people to God and not, I mean, he says, I'll rip off your earrings, and took it into his own hands of, we'll do what we need to do to try to fix this. And it just reminded me of that. Reminded me of that pastor that we listened to with the social justice thing, because it was like turning them completely away from the teachings of Christ and overlaying it with, this is what we'll do so we can, you know,
and it's the
better up. The world.
It's the up, get up, and we got to go do fix the world.
Right.
And the Lord calls us to get up to serve him.
Right.
And he'll work on the world.
Right.
And so now that doesn't mean we're not out of the world and we don't work for justice. That right. doesn't mean that. But we work for God's justice.
Exactly. That's that's the difference. That's what I was going to say. The justice is what God's called us to do, not what man calls us to do to fix things.
Right.
In the world.
And then the innocence, and I mean that for abortion, in this situation, we won't worry about that because nobody's fixed that, and that's a moral issue
or a political issue.
Or it's a political issue, and it's like, what in the heck is going on here?
That's what's been, I think that's one of the things that's made us so heavy, is probably hearing these different pastors from different churches that have
jumped on the bandwagon. Supposed theologian from, Princeton or whatever.
Well, it just shows that, the theology of man
and charismatic
is not is not God's theology.
No, and I think we have to be careful, because there's a movement to excuse sin and make room for it in the church, and this is exactly what's going off here on here. Our resources are to get up and basically feed the flesh. That's what is extremely troublesome.
Well, and it shows that in here, in the next section, where they, he builds an altar, and they go. I know you can read it if you want.
Yeah, it says, then all the people tore off their gold rings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And again, here we go. He asked for the money. They brought the money. This isn't the form of godliness that God called. Everything was free. Mm-hmm. So he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.
Now, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. Here's his false.
There's the false religion in there.
So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. So they did their duty of what they thought they needed to do before the Lord. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.
Okay. So there's a lot in there. So why do you think they rose up early? What do you think is going on there?
I think they were excited. They were excited to have their celebration of what they thought, were supposed to do.
Yeah. See, what we've learned is there is a huge bang against our flesh. When our flesh is excited to do something, that's when we need to be worried.
Yeah.
But like these Zen conferences, they had this Zen conference last year, and it was just the same folks that are doing some of these things that we're concerned about. It's feeding the flesh. It's getting these crowds together, and it's the same thing here.
Right. If you're leaving those conferences and feeling high on the Lord, and 2 weeks later you're right back in your own sin, and there hasn't been a change, then you know, you're just feeding your flesh.
Yeah. I won't name the church, but some dear friends sent one of their friends, a single lady, over to a church on the East Coast, a Bible-believing church, because they had, there was a big church. She went in there. She was a new Christian, and it was a hookup. And she
was she was, a young girl.
Mm-hmm. And they said, "What you're doing? What in this singles group?" They she said, "Yeah." She goes, "They called her out on her immorality," and that was going on all the time.
They called her out on her immorality. Correct. When she because she was participating in.
Well, yeah,
And they didn't realize.
Yeah, they had no idea that a singles group would be like that. Mm-hmm. In a Bible-believing church. And this is the thing that we have to look at. How do we, and there's many versions, not just immorality, but there's sensual stuff. In some of the worship we've seen, it's just sensual, and it's build up. Listen, Psalms is about us projecting out to God his glory and recognizing who he is. These songs that say, me, 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 and it's all about me, and boy, God, thanks for making me, you know, part of whatever. Just get your ears turned, because that's not real worship.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about with deception. It's so subtle. That, I mean, the enemy is so good at doing a counterfeit, whatever is good for the Lord, he does a counterfeit that attracts you. To get you to open the door to something, and then he's got you. I mean, yeah. It's so sneaky.
Yeah.
It's just sneaky.
Yeah.
And I think the probably the biggest place that Satan works is in the church.
Right. Yeah. And so.
Because we don't think of it that way. We think of, you know, we think of him as being the, you know, the redheaded horns and pitchfork. Tempting you to do these bad things, when in reality, it says you'll come as an angel of light, and it'll, you know, it'll fool you just like he did, Eve. If you're not in the Word and going before the Lord constantly and asking the Lord, I don't understand this. Please show me.
That's exactly right. And the Lord said in Matthew 24, there are going to be many Christs who comes. Now what? A lot of folks think they're going to declare themselves Christ. No, what it means is anointed one. Mm-hmm. And so 1 John 2:26 shows very clearly, if you go read that, first read the whole chapter in 2, but take a look, and it shows, I'm telling you this so you don't become deceived. Mm-hmm. You need to be in the Word of God yourself. In fact, you don't need any man to teach you, because the Holy Spirit will teach you, and you're anointed.
Yeah, it even says in Matthew 20, 24, I actually wrote that down. It said,
go ahead.
For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Right.
Which is happening. I mean, and it's always happened, but it's really happening right now.
Right.
I mean, and another verse that I thought was interesting was Malachi 2:17. It said, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, how have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? So, you know, they're finding justice in their own eyes. Right. They're looking at evil as good. And that's happening in the churches by... One of the ways that it's happening in the churches is saying that an acceptance of sin is love. So,
right,
you know, you are not a Christian, and you're not loving if you're not accepting. In this situation, I'll just say it: the homosexuality or transgender or alcoholism or drug addicts or people who are making poor choices, that you just need to accept them, and you're not loving them if you're not. Instead of that, you love them, but you don't accept the sin.
Well, and then in evangelical,
so I'd be called a bigot right there for saying that.
Why do you think that?
Because well, because of naming things as sin, that, you know, that are sin, and not accepting, because it's not about acceptance of a person. And you can be kind to a person, you can love the person, treat them with respect, and still not accept the sin.
That's exactly right.
And that's how it should be.
That is exactly right. Yep. And why do we have to not accept the sin? Because we want to walk holy before the Lord as servants.
I want to do what Malachi 2:17 says, where it says that again, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, how have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? So he delights in, you know, you say evil is good and the Lord delights in that. The Lord doesn't delight in that.
No, he doesn't. And yeah, I want to find a verse. So can you make a comment here?
Well, that it's to me, it's the same thing with the signs and wonders. And it says that in Matthew 24:24 about, you know, the false prophets and great signs and wonders. It's another idol that people can follow from. And I'm not trying to sound negative or be Debbie Downer or anything like that, but what I'm trying to do is show in my view, from what I've experienced in the Word of the Lord, is that if I'm going around following the next greatest prophet, or this apostle's coming, that apostle's coming, and I'm gonna go feed my flesh and get the emotional the emotional feeling about it. If you're walking away from that, and like I said, you're not in the Word, and you're not repenting before the Lord and asking him to reveal, because if you do that, he'll reveal that being the signs and wonders of that are out there that are not from him.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm sure I'm going to make a lot of people mad, but if somebody calls themselves apostle, run. And because they've put themselves above you, and it says very clearly, don't call anybody a rabbi, don't call anybody father. All of you are brothers in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Be really wary of those people that do that, because they're looking for control and power. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody out there would say, well, Rick, what about the fivefold ministries? All an apostle is a sent one, and the apostles that had the real authority were sent by Christ himself, and there was 12 of them, and one, and Paul. So let's cut the crap, and I mean it that way. Mm-hmm. So here's, when you were talking about love, I just want to share this with you. We came across this because we've heard, well, we just have to love everybody. And when they say that,
usually they say, Jesus told me to love everybody.
Yeah. And what they're saying actually is, we just have to accept everybody's sin. And like you eloquently already went over that, but let's look at Romans 11:9. Is it Romans 11:9 or 12? Okay. 12:9. Let love, this is not out of context. Let love be without hypocrisy. This is what you were sharing. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another, in brotherly love. Here's the thing. You can love without being hypocritical. And hypocrisy is being an actor. An actor acts. That's in Greek, that's what they used to do. So they were pretending to be something for gain or whatever it was. But let's love without hypocrisy, which then goes, godly love gave his son. But the second thing is, it calls us to abhor evil. If we're not abhorring evil and you're in a church that doesn't abhor evil, you better take a really hard look. Because here's the deal. The Lord is coming to judge. And I'll tell you what, if Moses hadn't interceded for him, Moses would have been dead. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And so is there anything more to say about this?
Well, I think, it sounds because I've got, I feel like I've kind of gotten worked up over it, but I think it's because of just the way of the world right now and personal situations in my own, you know, in my own situation with experiences that you're made to feel, as Christians, you're made to feel like you're being a judgmental, hypocritical person if you disagree with something that and don't accept sin. And it can be very frustrating, and it can be where you want to take up your own and try to serve justice on them for saying that to you, trying to convince, or that's the wrong way to say it.
You want to convince them that you're not.
No, I'm not judgmental. Look at, I treat everybody, but you know, I heard somebody say one time that somebody can't understand, an unholy person can't understand somebody who's trying to live holy by the Lord. You can't convince them until they bring themselves to a place where they're ready to accept and let go of their own flesh and let the Lord take over.
And this is where we started from, is how do we take off our filters? How do we take a look at where we're at? And maybe, just maybe, say, Lord, am I wrong? Mm-hmm. Is this the way? Because you're going to step into eternity. We're all 100% guaranteed to die. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so science can't tell you that there's no God. Mm-hmm. And all science is a methodology. But we are going to step into eternity. Mm-hmm. And you better know if the way you're living, even if you're a Christian, you love God, you're not into any of this stuff that we're talking about, you need to know if what you're doing and the way you're living, and because we're doing that, mm-hmm. we're scared.
Well,
we have the fear of the Lord in the sense that we don't want to offend.
Well, and the thing is that we're revealed all the time of our sin and the things that, you know, I think that's the difference between when they say that you're a hypocrite, is that when you're trying to serve God and going before the Lord and asking him to reveal, he'll reveal to you. And there will be things that have been in our lives and that will continue to be in our lives, that we've made wrong choices, or that, no, we didn't get that right, or that scripture we didn't quite do right. And you bring other people of God that are in the same mindset, that they want to repent before the Lord, and they want to do the will of God, and they want to read the word of God and understand it correctly. All of that, the Lord helps you stay on he takes his staff and he pushes you this way and that way when you're willing.
Yeah. And the reason I'm smiling is because I had a theory, and I know better. I have a theory about the way it's, I had a theory about something in the Old Testament being transferred into the New. And so what happened is I took my theory and I shared it with Brooke, and Brooke, in a really nice way, you made a classic mistake. You inferred into the scripture what you wanted to hear. And I have to say, we have to be careful that we don't infer into the scripture what we wanted to mm-hmm. say.
Well, and that's a good example of having men of God and women of God around you that you can bounce things off of.
Mentors,
you've done that for others. I've done it for people. People have done it for me. And the Lord provides that. That's part of the, you know, I think that's part of the process for God providing other godly people in your life to, iron sharpens iron. There's a purpose for it, but there's also people out there who aren't of God that can do just as much damage.
So. Well, I know. So let's do this. Let's just add this up onto this. So, I made a little chart. So there's a comparison between, God calling us up and Moses up onto the mountain to get his laws, and then people calling us up to the flesh. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be hard. And watch out, folks. If you don't ask the Lord if where you're headed and what you believe, you could be given over to a deception. We got to be careful. So Moses waits 6 days, and then he then goes in the Sabbath. Aaron reacts to the pressure from the people, not God. Mm-hmm. I see this all the time with pastors saying, well, we've got to have this kind of worship. We've got to have this kind of worship. And
we've got to accept this or that, or our church is going to disappear.
Yeah. No, just preach the word of God and let God take care of it.
Yeah.
God gives Moses plans. Moses hears God and acts on faith. It's freely given by God. Aaron takes money from the ears of the people, the very resources God gave them. Plans and purposes, God calls up plans and purposes so that God may dwell with man, aka worship. He wants to dwell with us, but it's got to be his rules. Right. And if you're in sin, you'll sense a separation.
Yep. Right.
Where is the Holy Spirit in all this with the people calling up? Okay, God, they'll tell you the Holy Spirit's there, but
that's the scary part, because they think they love God. They want to, you know, they're slipping into their own mindset of what God is.
Yeah, we were stunned because we went to the Zach Williams conference and concert in this church, and it was horrific. I'm the sound, the lighting, the songs,
I felt like I was back in the 70s at a concert.
Yeah, only we were way up in the back, and it felt like you were right in front of the speaker. Mm-hmm. But people were leaving, which I thought, and then we run into a girl in the church that we are going to, and she says, oh, it was wonderful worship. Well, there wasn't very many people worshiping in there, but that wasn't worship.
No.
So, you know.
It was definitely emotion with, it felt the same as being at a concert, just a secular concert only. Your emotions were, I feel weird saying that because I don't want to question somebody's worship, but when you have to look away, because of the way somebody's dancing on stage or, the flashing lights because they're so flashing that you're scared you're going to, you know, have a
seizure.
Yeah, seizure. That's not worship.
No. And so God calls up and it's free. And with the people calling up, there's this exchange of money. Grace of the Lord, anger of the Lord. So serve God by going against our lust. They serve their own passions. That's the biggest thing, you know, that if it's going against, going against your lust, you know that that's most likely from God. But the other thing that's really interesting is, I was just talking to a friend of mine, if I have a thought that crosses and says, you know what, don't watch this media, get in your Bible, I can pretty much know that that's from the Lord. Now, you have to be careful with that kind of stuff. But any scripture, any movement that doesn't put the word of God really high, mm-hmm. or church or anything, you really need to take a look at hard.
If they're preaching more about social justice and the ways of the world than they are about God's word, run as far as you can. And it's interesting that, because at the end result of this, that's exactly what happened. They did their peace offerings. They did their little worship of what they thought they needed to do. And by the end, were they doing?
They rose up to play.
They were playing.
They went right back into their lust. And the Lord is calling us away from the things of the world. He's calling us. Satan is in the church. You've got to realize that. And if we don't realize it, he's in the people of God right here. Take this
as scriptural.
Yep.
It's scriptural. So why would we question that that's not happening?
Right.
Because it says it in scripture that it's happening, and it is.
Right. So we're coming up towards the end, and you're kind of fired up, so I'd like you to pray.
This is about how fired up I get.
Yeah. I actually kind of like it.
Well, okay, I'll pray. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just thank you for being our Father, and thank you for the patience that you have with us when we slide off and get into all these self-righteous things that we can get ourselves into, and thinking that we're doing good for you when we're not. I just thank you that you, if we come to you and ask you, you will reveal to us when we're wrong, and yeah. you'll graciously forgive us and give us the power to do your will instead of ours. It's such a good feeling to know that. And it's also sobering to me, Lord, to know that the longer I know you, the more I get into your word, the more fearful I get of the reality that I can be deceived in this world. And I'm grateful that you you shine your light on that so that I can be in your word and find people to place around me that are also in your word that will help be a safety net and a wall around the enemy and his deceitful ways. So I lift up our world today to you, Lord, and I know it has to happen because it's scriptural that these things are going to happen. But I pray, Lord, that you help each of us to stay close to you and fight for you and be a warrior for you and bring as many people as we can to salvation and to freedom in your gift of salvation, so that they don't spend eternity in a place that is not with you. So I thank you for that and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was really great. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. And again, podcast two, we're going to talk about some different possible churches and stuff like that that we should watch out for, and then give you some more resources.
We're going to put some links below this one, right, of some people, solid people that are good to listen to.
Yep. And at least you should take the time to study them out. So blessings to everyone. Please be concerned. We're in the great apostasy, and you can be deceived.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.